Well, I want to speak to you tonight on deliverance and keeping your deliverance. And I just want to start off by giving somewhat of a review of the things that we have previously taught. We did talk about some of my own experiences and how I came to grips with demons and demonology. We discovered that everywhere that Jesus went, he cast out demons. We discovered that it was the most original and dynamic of all of his ministries. Because everything that Jesus did, including raise people from the dead, had happened already in the Old Testament. But there was no account in the Old Testament of anybody being delivered of a demon. They knew about demons, but they hadn't seen anybody delivered. And when Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry, was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum, and a man possessed of a demon, of many demons, screamed out. And Jesus told him to be quiet and told the demon to come out. And the man fell on the floor, and with shrieks, demons came out of the man. And the people said, "What kind of new teaching is this, that even the demons are subject unto him?" And the fame of him spread through all Galilee. And then Jesus not only ministered deliverance, he sent his disciples to do the same. He never sent anybody to do the work of the ministry without also telling them to heal the sick and to cast out demons and to preach the kingdom of God. And he even said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons." And we go into the day of Pentecost and the birthing of the church and the apostles moving forward. And we see that they went to every place casting out demons and healing the sick. And it says in Acts chapter 8 that when the dispersion came, that Philip went down to Samaria and started to preach the kingdom of God. And people were delivered of demon spirits. And so this continues, the ministry of deliverance, right up to our present day. The demons that were here in Jesus' time are still on the planet. And they want to live inside of other people. We talked about the nature and activity of demons, how they torment and they entice and they defile and they control and they drive people. They can work from the outside of a person, or they can work from the inside of a person. If a person lives a sinful life or gets involved in things that open the door for demons, then a demon can come inside and torment them. For most Christians, demonic problems comes from without. They hinder your progress. They get in the way. Some people say, you know, whenever we're wanting to get the meetings going, there's a problem with the sound equipment. They'll say there's a demon in the technology. But there are demon spirits that would like to interfere with everything, with your family, with your job, with your health. In every way, they would like to get in the way of your progress and your peace and the blessings of God. Satan has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. But Jesus has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's the great contrast. So if a demon is within somebody, the scripture teaches us to drive it out of them. Doesn't say have them lie down on the couch and give them therapy. It says drive it out of them. If a demon is without, the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. So you're either going to drive it out or resist him. One way or the other, demons are our enemy. And we take a strong stand in the name of Jesus. We discovered some of the ways that demons will come against people or even get inside of people. and one is because of trauma. Car accidents, something that's a terrible incident in a person's life that's full of fear, traumatic things. And then abuse can be another way, sexual abuse or physical abuse, verbal abuse. All kinds of abuse can be doorways for demons to come inside of people. Then if you are under the authority of somebody who is controlling, it can be a doorway for demons. If they're a controlling person, is usually involved in some form of witchcraft. They're either in the occult or they're in the cult. But it can even be a parent who is overly controlling. There can be religious spirits that come because certain people will have this controlling, manipulative spirit over others. And so if you were in a village, in a developing nation, perhaps, where they had witch doctors and such, when you were born, there could be a prophecy over you. The people of that village look to that witch doctor for spiritual guidance and care. And when you come under somebody like that, there's going to be a demon come inside of that person. But you can be sitting on a Sunday morning at a church in Washington, D.C. I just picked that out of the top of my head. But there could be a church there where the vicar, the pastor, the reverend, is preaching damnable heresies in the name of humanism and secularism. And it has to do with denying the essentials of the faith. And if you sit underneath that kind of thing, you can open yourself up to demonic activity. And then demons can come into a person because of the sins that bring a curse. And I mentioned many sins, many kinds of sins that bring a curse that are listed in the Bible. Witchcraft is the number one reason for demonic activity. And there's many forms of witchcraft. So you don't want to bring that into your home, lest you become like unto it. And some of us, I mentioned the other day, need a good house cleaning. Don't wait till spring for the spring cleaning. If there's demonic charms or contact things in your house, get rid of those things. They might even be of great value, but get rid of them if they are demonic. And there's a list of things that can bring a curse. So occult is one of them, but also dishonoring your parents. Some people need to repent of that. And then corruption in business. Whole nations are under demonic siege because there's curses on the nation because the government of those nations are corrupt. It's very true. It's very real. And then curses involving the mishandling of handicapped people or immigrants or orphans or widows or the poor. Any disadvantaged person that you take serious advantage of that person. There's a curse. The Lord says, cursed is the man who doesn't treat them properly. Then there's curses because of sexual perversions. This one is so prolific because it's the passion of our age to be sexually active outside of marriage. And there, more than anywhere else, except perhaps the occult, is where you're going to get the transference of demons from one person to another. Because those who are joined together sexually become one spirit. And there is an immediate connection there for demonic transference. But any kind of perverted sexual activity can open the door. And then the shedding of innocent blood, such as abortions. Being a hired hitman puts a curse on people. Murder and being an assassin especially is mentioned. And in that same list is not paying your tithes if you're a Christian. You can argue with it, but not with me. You have to argue with God. So these kinds of sins, not every sin, but these kinds of sins have a curse or a judgment, a sworn judgment it's called. And where that judgment is there, there's an open door for demonic activity. Now, some of this is generational. Satan doesn't play fair. And if grandparents, you might not even known of it, but in the Second World War, for example, they could have been involved in some horrific kind of murders or in some kind of witchcraft in the Roaring Twenties when it was very popular. And you can be experiencing problems with your children and your grandchildren because of things that your parents or grandparents did. Because curses go down for four generations. And so curses open the door for demonic entrance. We talked about closing the doorways of demons. But once demons come, they want to build a stronghold. They want to so fortify their place in a person's life that they control a part of a person's life. A sickness. Or their mental capabilities. Many people are tortured. There's a stronghold of darkness that needs to be broken. And the Lord tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not of this earth, but they're divinely powerful to the demolishing of strongholds. So that means the power God gives you is the power to break apart the prison. So you want to kick the demon out, bust apart the prison, and get into the place of freedom in the Lord. So now we want to talk about your deliverance, if it's needed. And I would say this. If you have perfect peace in every area of your life, you do not have a problem with demons. If your mind is at peace, and your soul is at peace, and your sleep is at peace, and your body is at peace. In other words, it's not having some major disease or sickness. And there's peace in your home, and peace with your relationships, and peace with your pastor. No, that one was just added. If you've got peace everywhere, then you probably don't have a problem. But if there isn't peace everywhere, a sign of demonic activity is restlessness in a person. That's one of the things that will be there. Restlessness. And it can explode into many, many different areas that take away a person's peace. Now, for a person to be delivered of a demon spirit, you don't need somebody else per se, except Jesus, for your deliverance. But sometimes it's good to have somebody else lay hands and pray over you. But the first thing you need to do is humble yourself. You can't be proud. You have to say, Lord, I need your help. You humble yourself. The second thing you need to do is to be completely honest. You need to say, Lord, I recognize I've got a problem. And it's in this area of my life. Thirdly, you need to confess your sins. And the Bible even says to confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. And you may want to do that with somebody who you really trust, who is a senior person in your life, a godly person, and somebody who will not gossip for sure, but also not just give you an easy out. You don't want to, say you smoke and you don't want to smoke a cigarette. I just use that as an example because it's an easy one. Don't go to somebody who's smoking and say, I've really got a problem, I'm smoking. They'll say, well, you know, it may not be that big a problem. I've been smoking all my life and I love Jesus. Well, I'm sure they do. So, you know, you want to go to somebody who's going to be gentle with you, but very honest with you and caring, but also they're going to tell you the truth. And so you confess your sins and then repent and renounce sin. Repent, of course, means turning around and going in the opposite direction. And then you renounce that sin, and you've got to forsake it. You've got to leave that thing behind. The fifth thing, you have to forgive other people. Because if you stand to receive from the Lord, and you have unforgiveness in your heart, you may have to forgive yourself. You may have to forgive your dad. You may have to forgive your mom. You may have to forgive your wife or your husband. Sometimes husbands and wives, you kind of bump up against each other, and it's just they get used to this. So they live in a bit of a growl because they're rubbing and they have friction with each other. But they don't realize that there's actually some unforgiveness there. And they start backing off in their relationship or becoming cold toward one another in some way. And actually it is some unforgiveness. And so, you know, I've known this being married ever since I was first married, that whenever I had a fight with Joy, God wouldn't speak to me. It didn't matter who was right or wrong. I would cry and say, Lord, I am right. And he said, I'm not talking with you. I am not talking with you till you go get it right. So I'm glad that that's the way the Lord was with me, because I know that is so important. So when I say, you know, there may be little things that you have to forgive, but some things may be really big. People who have hurt you. If I were to ask you to close your eyes and to picture the person in your mind's eye who has hurt you most in your life, it'll come just like that. You know exactly who that person, who those five people are. You have to forgive them. So you've got to humble yourself. You've got to be completely honest. You've got to confess your sins. You've got to repent and renounce all evil. You've got to forgive others. And then you've got to call upon the name of the Lord. It's in the name of the Lord. And deliverance is something that has to be led by the Holy Spirit with Holy Spirit power. And you've got to take authority over that thing. You just got to put yourself in a position where the devil can say nothing against you because you've covered all the bases. You've forgiven, you've repented, you've got it right. And then you say, now, Satan, demon, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. And you drive that thing out in the name of the Lord. And you get somebody else to help you with it, if needs be. Now, two questions are commonly asked about deliverance. One is, how do I know if I'm completely free? I wish I could give you a certificate. You know, write it up and you are free. But that you will know. People who have a change spiritually in their lives have a dramatic experience. It is like night and day. The change that comes when the Lord moves in and the darkness moves out. Just while we were up in Virginia, we talked with some people, went for lunch with one of the deacons in the church, and he was telling me how he came to the Lord and how dark things were. And then he just gave his life to the Lord, and suddenly he had been in a rehab from alcoholism and from all kinds of problems. And one day he just meant business with God, and he repented of his sins, and the Holy Spirit came inside of him. Well, you know what it's like when you get saved. Every dark thing runs and every blessing comes. And it's a change like that. It is so powerful and so obvious. Now, you may find later on in life that you're starting to recognize something else that needs to be taken care of in your life. And it may be just something that's bothering you from the outside. I'm not saying it's something that's living inside of you, but it could be. And it's like, it's called sanctification. When the Lord is working on two things, one is your flesh, and the other is demonic activity. Those are two enemies against the Spirit of God in your life. The demonic is blasphemous, but your flesh, that's the lawyer inside of you. That's the one who makes excuses for you. And the flesh and demon activity can actually produce something very similar to resist the purposes of God in your life. So as you grow in the things of the Lord, stuff starts to come to the surface. And then you've got to deal with it appropriately. And some people, they come to a ceiling. It's like they're growing in God and they go so far and they're having a wonderful conversion. And then they come up against something. It's like they can't go any further. And often it's a demonic entity that's hindering, that comes against them. And something needs to be taken authority over. It might be a curse of some kind on your family. It needs to be broken. In the process, what I'm telling you is that you have to learn to take authority for yourself. Take authority over your life. I mentioned at the beginning of the meeting how that at times we feel like we're in a special time capsule with the Lord. And he's training us and ministering to us and taking us into a place of strength and teaching us and so on. And often he'll reveal that there's something, there's an enemy that we need to deal with in our lives. And so you need to come against that. And then there's times when you're going along just fine and an enemy doesn't want you to advance. He doesn't want you to go into the ministry. He doesn't want you to be a blessing. He doesn't want you to go to Israel. He doesn't want you to go on a missions trip. He doesn't want you building up the house of the Lord, taking on a ministry or something. So the enemy can come against you big time. Sometimes with sickness, sometimes with financial problems or relational problems. I've had so many times when we're moving forward in the things of the Lord and then boom, it's like there's this huge demonic attack. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm used to this now. I think, oh my goodness, another one. And I just rebuke that thing in the name of the Lord. Then I hang on to Jesus for dear life. And the Lord brings us through stage after stage. And every time we grow in strength and in wisdom and power. So you have to learn that. If there's open doors that haven't been closed over your family or over your life, demons will at some time try to come and attack you through those doors. When you're vulnerable, when you're weak, and you've got to learn to say, in the name of Jesus, get out. You should raise your voice and tell them what for. In Jesus' name. So the first thing is, how do I know if I'm completely free? And the second thing is, where do demons go? If they get cast out of somebody, well, Jesus never sent demons to hell. He never sent them into a place where they could be permanently locked up. In fact, when he cast demons out of people, the scripture teaches us that they roamed around looking for another home. And when they couldn't find a home, they always try to come back to the home that they had left. So it's very important that once you really feel free and blessed by the Lord, that then you keep the house clean. Walk in the goodness of the Lord. Rejoice in the God of your salvation. Because you certainly don't want to make room for any demons to come back. Now, I want to give you some reasons why deliverance is sometimes not obtained. It's not got because of four major things. One, a lack of true repentance. That's the number one thing. And you'll find every time I'm leading a group in prayer, and I don't just do it here at Antioch, but if I'm in Miami or Virginia or in Bulgaria, at the end of every meeting, I'll say this prayer after me. And I'll usually start with, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Because I don't want to insult the people who are already saved. But then I say, Lord, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. I feel we can never go wrong when we say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and wash me afresh with the blood of Jesus. That's a starting place. And some people don't have true repentance in their life. And that's the number one reason why there is not a real deliverance when some people might be needing it. And then the second thing would be a failure to confess sin. Particularly, something like adultery or abortion. I've had so many people, I'm not talking about this church, but through my life as a pastor, over 40 years of just coming and sharing things like that. And some people will not confess their faults. And some people need to. They need to do it seriously and recognize it for what it is and repent of it. And then a failure to forgive others is a big reason why some people do not receive their deliverance. And lastly, a failure to break with the occult. Because especially this is true in some of the ethnic countries and ethnic peoples, because they have such a mixture. If you go down to the people of Miami, most of them are Cuban. And they have a kind of witchcraft that's in their heritage called Santeria. And it's a mixture of some very dark witchcraft. You find the same in Mexico, where you'll find witchcraft mixed together with Catholicism. I remember when we were ministering in one place in Mexico, and we were on the side of a mountain, and way up on the other side of the mountain was this huge cathedral with like 1,000 steps going up to the cathedral. Well, at different stations all the way up, they were sacrificing chickens. And the local tribesmen and so on were having their meetings all the way up and on the church grounds. And then they would go into the Catholic Church. So they had this crazy mixture. There are some people who, for example, in this country, won't break with Freemasonry. The things that their parents were a part of. So there's a lot of dark things. I don't know. I'll just say this in general because I'm not sure what church it was in. But somebody came up to me recently and they said, my father just went into a senior's home and he was a Mason of a certain degree. And he has this ring and his robe and flags and a book and all this kind of stuff. And they said, he's never going to come back to our home, but that's in our home. What do you think I should do? Well, I said, well, it's up to you. I could just tell you what I would do if it was my dad. I'd take that stuff out and burn it and destroy it, and it would go in the garbage. That's what I would do. It would certainly not get passed on, and I wouldn't allow it to stay in my home. You're doing your dad a favor. They were concerned about, you know, honoring his rights, which is a nice thought. Now, once you receive deliverance and you really feel free, I want to give you some things that will help you to keep that which God has freed you from. Over the years, I've spent a lot of time ministering with people individually. I don't do that now. I let you do that. But I used to spend hundreds of hours every month praying over people and counseling them, mostly in a kind of powerful deliverance kind of directive. And I saw people delivered just when I was speaking to them. Just when I was counseling them with the word of God, I saw them change instantaneously and whoosh, just delivered on the spot without praying for them. Just by the power of the word of God. Well, if you want to be, if you want to keep freedom, once you get to a place of freedom, don't mess around. Here are some things you should just be sharp with. One, yield to the lordship of Jesus in every area of your life. If you've had a real, real battle with demon spirits, you know how serious this is. You know how controlling that a demon spirit can be and can have over a person's life. If you've been in a place of addictions or in a place of some kind of witchcraft or occult, if you've been under the demonic power of somebody else, or maybe before you came to the Lord, you had a sexual relationship with somebody outside of marriage, and there was, you know, there was a spiritual entity involved in that. You felt it in the power of that thing that overcame you. I'm just speaking from stories that so many, many, many people have shared with me over the years. And you need to now take every part of your life and bring it, yield under the lordship of Jesus Christ. What would Jesus do? You know, they have these bracelets out. What would Jesus do? That's a great thing. I could have two of them. One would say, what would Jesus do? One would say, what would Derek Prince do? Because he's my grandpa. He's my mentor in the ministry. So when I'm ministering, I'd say, well, what would Grandpa Derek do? What would Jesus do? So bring your life under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Secondly, be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is just by singing to yourself, worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord, speaking the word of the Lord, walking in prayer, living in the presence of God. You can walk continuously in the presence of the Lord. Even if you have a job that takes your mental faculties and consumes them, you have to really pay attention where you work. Well, when you have your break, you go and re-plug in to the Lord. And you say, here I am, Lord. You bring your little pocket New Testament. You just open it up and read a little verse. But you walk in the Spirit. Because that's what the Bible says. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The third thing is live by the Word of God. So take this Bible and consume it. Say, Lord, this word, the New Testament, the New Covenant application of this word, whatever it says in there, that's it. You show me I'm already predisposed to obey your word. And you let the word of God be like a mirror to you. So you open it up and you read the scripture and then you see yourself and it says such and such. You know, you might find a verse in there that says, you have heard it said, do not commit murder. But I say unto you, the words of Jesus, do not be angry with your brother. So you say, Lord, this is what I want. I don't want anger inside of me anymore. Because that's your word. So you conform your life to your word, to God's word. And what that means is that you have to talk less when you're upset. You just have to not talk the way you feel. And then you give it a little space. And then you say, Lord, help me now. Help me not to respond. And after a little bit, God will help you. It's amazing. If you ask the Holy Spirit to help you so that you conform with the Word of God, He will. And you'll become an amazing person because you'll be more like Jesus. So the fourth thing is put on the whole armor of God. And you know, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18 talks about the armor of God. The helmet of the hope of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness. Truth. The gospel of peace. The shield of faith. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God with all prayer. And put that on. You walk in it. And number five, cultivate right relationships. I don't know too many of your personal lives, what kind of people you hang out with. You can hang out with people who aren't bad, but they're not good for you either. And you might need to, you know, associate with these people to be an encouragement to them. But you need to find friends who have faith. People who have the Word of God in them. People who are uplifting and encouraging. And let those be the main people that you hang out with. You need to cultivate a kingdom of God lifestyle. So let that fellowship, cultivate right relationships and good fellowship with people. And that, you know, might be people from other churches, people from in the community, people in your own family, people who love the Lord. And there's even people who don't know that they love the Lord yet, that you can have good fellowship with. And then you'll lead them to the Lord in time. But they're good. They're not critical people. They're not negative people. And then just make Jesus the center of your whole life. Just let Jesus in what you serve, how you live, everything that you do. If you do those kind of things, you're going to find, if you've had deliverance, Satan's not going to be able to come back and put all kinds of nasty things back into your life. If you go back to an old lifestyle that has addictions in it, that has darkness in it, it will not just be bad like it used to be. It will get worse. It will get much worse. Because once Satan, once demons have lost hold on you, if they get a chance to get hold on you again, they will be all over you. That's their plan. So you need to get the God plan for your life. You need to walk in a place of strength and a place of power and a place of good fellowship and love in the Lord. So we're going to have a time of prayer now. And for those of you who would like prayer, we're going to invite you to come up to the front. I'm going to pray for you as a group and dismiss those who would like to go. But those of you who would like to be prayed for, we're going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Please stand. I want to lead you through a declaration and a prayer unto the Lord. You know how we're going to start with committing our lives to God and asking Him to forgive us of our sins. And then we're going to make some proclamations, all right? Let's do this together. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Tonight I give everything to you. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me afresh with the blood of Jesus. And fill me with the Holy Spirit. I receive your power and your blessing over my life. I renounce the occult and every evil thing, every antichrist spirit, and every thought that lifts itself up against the knowledge of God. I renounce it and drive it far from me. I rebuke fear and rejection and every dark thing. And I make this declaration. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I belong to Jesus. My life is filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, Satan has no power in me and no power over me. He cannot hinder my progress or interfere with the purpose of God in my life. I am blessed of the Lord. Because I belong to the family of God. The Lord provides for me. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is my deliverer. He is my strong tower. Whatever I need, I find it in Him. He gives me peace and protection and prosperity. I receive these things. In the name of Jesus, for the glory of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.